Hey, Backtrackers, it's me, John. Corey and I wanted to address that we record a lot of these episodes well in advance due to our busy schedules. We might not be discussing events in real time, such as Aerosmith postponing their Vegas shows. We are saddened by Steven's relapse, and we wish him a speedy recovery. Thank you guys for listening, and we appreciate all of you.
Good morning, glory, hallelujah to you, and welcome to Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited, brought to you by Pop Rock and Radio. Ken Knapsack's Pop Rock and Radio, the big hits, album cuts, and B-sides from the rock and pop world that make up the soundtracks of our lives. Look for live shows and make requests. Sing, dance, and celebrate the music with the Pop Rock and Radio community, which features myself, Corey Morissette, and my good friend from all the way in Long Island, New York, St. John Mariano. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing well, Corey. I was just enjoying a grilled cheese sandwich.
Oh, you bastard. Now I'm hungry.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I got to ask you a question. When you do the grilled cheese, do you put some mayo on the bread to get that golden color, or do you just go straight butter?
I go straight because I'm just not a fan of mayo. And that's kind of sacrilege in Canada, where a lot of people even dip their French fries in mayo, which is just completely disgusting for me. But I'm not a huge mayo fan. I can have it on some stuff, you know, mayo on a chicken sandwich, I think is okay. But grilled cheese with mayo, no, that would be a no for me.
So I want you to do me a favor before you give it the hard no, because you don't actually get the flavor of the mayo, believe it or not. So I want you to assemble your sandwich next time, and then get the lightest amount of mayonnaise on a spreader knife, okay? And gently spread it across the bread. Then you scissor the butter and drop it mayo side down first. Okay. Then you hit another light thing of mayo on the other side of the sandwich for when you flip it. And all it's going to do is the oil from the mayonnaise is going to give this true golden color and a better crisp to the bed, to the toast when you bite into it.
When it comes to food, I trust you wholeheartedly. Yeah. Like, you are a tremendous cook. I've never eaten anything you've made, but you sent me the pictures and they look so good. So if you say to do this, I'm absolutely going to do it.
This isn't about the flavor. I know this is an Aerosmith podcast, but my God, I was just having this grilled cheese sandwich and it's got the crisp on the outside and the gooiness on the inside. Oh, and that combination, to me, it's kind of like the song we had last week, Seasons of Wither. It's got a lot of layers to it.
Boy, that was a damn good song, wasn't it? We were even talking about it off air. Like, we just caught ourselves listening to the song because it's that damn good. And it's going to be hard to eliminate that one. Like, you think, you know, show 13, it's got a long way to go. But that song's got legs. I don't know if that comes off anytime soon. I know you change your opinion hourly, it seems like. How are you feeling about that song this week?
I'm still on it pretty much. I did think about it a little bit, and as good as that song is, I am curious to see if it holds up to the live versions of itself.
Which there is one from Rockin' the Joint. Now that, as a live album, isn't tremendous. The band wasn't fantastic on that album, but I haven't heard the live version of Seasons of Wither from that album in a very long time, so I am looking forward to maybe getting that on the die one time so we can see if the live version stacks up to the original. Cause the original had everything. You had that nice, you had the crowd at the beginning, then you had that nice howling wind, and then Steven on the acoustic, then the whole band kicks in and it was just phenomenal.
You know, I know I derailed the show a little bit early doing some grilled cheese talk, but why don't we recap the dice for everybody and see what we're going to talk about this week.
Absolutely. On the dice currently, Chip Away the Stone, which has been there since week one. Helter Skelter, the Beatles cover. You Got a Move, which is a cover from Honkin' on Bobo. Shame on You, which was just put on the die from Done with Mirrors. John Mariano put that on there last week. Just Push Play and Sick as a Dog. So what do you say, John? If you're ready, let's roll this sucker and see what we come up with.
Let's Here, you know what? I'm going to give it a roll this week. Let's see what we get.
All right. And we're coming up. Chip Away the Stone, show 14. It's finally off the die. This is a great, great song. One of my absolute all-time favorites. So much so that it was one of my original three choices to put on the die. John, this was a big one from a Pandora's Box. I believe it was also on Gems. Man, I would be looking forward to this one for a long time. What are your thoughts on Chip Away the Stone?
I adore this song. I when you put this on like episode one, I was excited. I've been looking forward to it now, 13 songs deep, however deep we are, and I'm excited. I'm also excited because this is going to freshen up the dice a little bit. Like as you said, this has been on there since episode one, so this will freshen it up. It'll give it a different look, and I can't wait to hear it and comment on it.
Now we're going to go with the studio version, which is off of Gems. There's also a live version on Live Bootleg that I remember being very, very good. So, but we're going to go with the studio version here tonight. Chip Away the Stone is written by Richie Supa, who was a longtime friend of Aerosmith. He actually temporarily replaced Joe Perry when Joe left the band in 79 until a replacement was found. He's helped co-write a ton of songs, including Lightning Strikes, Amazing from Get a Grip, and Pink off of Nine Lives. He's also a writer credited with a lot of Richie Sambora solo stuff. He's written with Pink, and he's also co-written some stuff for Ozzy Osbourne, which is kind of cool. But Chip Away the Stone was a single off of Live Bootleg, but the track we're going to listen to tonight was featured on the Greatest Hits compilation Gems. It was also featured on Pandora's Box and on Greatest Hits 73 to 88, and the live video was also featured on the Aerosmith video Scrapbook. So pretty well-known song in Aerosmith circles, even though it wasn't given like an official album release so much.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is gonna be one of the ones that they play when they hit Vegas for their residency. They played it a ton in 78 and haven't played it a lot since in concert. Although Steven Tyler did play it on The Tonight Show with Randy Jackson and the house band on The Tonight Show back in 2012. So Steven Tyler does like the song enough to play it on live TV. We will see if he and the band play it in Vegas.
It was played in 2019, 8 different times. 2017, 7 different times. So they have been known to bust this one out. But what do you say, John? Let's crack open some Gems and listen to a little Chip Away the Stone.
Go for it.
That's just peak Aerosmith to me. You got a killer riff, a great melody. Steven sounds fantastic. Lyrics are awesome. Well, you're acting like a prima donna, playing so hard to get, acting so cool and nonchalant, dragging on a cigarette. That's fantastic. Like, this is just, we talked about this mixtape being, if you're introducing Aerosmith to somebody who had never heard of them, what songs would you have on there? This is a prime example for me.
Yeah, he's just so damn cool, right? Like, you know, this is the epitome of cool rock, and I'm looking forward to getting into it a little bit more. But even how we're kicking off and starting here, this is the sound of Aerosmith that you look for.
We'll be right back. that's Aerosmith, 100%, right? You got a dirty blues guitar, a little slide guitar in there. You got some honky-tonk piano. You got a great medley. Steven sounds fantastic. The band's on fire. This is Aerosmith really pumping on all cylinders.
No, this is Aerosmith sounding like they belong in the House of Blues right now. In so many ways, like the piano kicking in, the bluesiness of the guitars, the beat. It's a very bluesy Aerosmith track.
And they're a very bluesy band. So to me, this is kind of what, you know, I know newer fans kind of point to their output in the Geffen years, which is very kind of pop orientated. They had Outside Riders and stuff. This is, even though it's written by Richard Supa, this is very much, you know, a Steven Tyler, Joe Perry kind of feel of a song, a great chorus, great guitar playing. The band sounds fantastic. And one of my favorite choruses actually in Aerosmith history. What do you think of how that chorus sounds?
So far I'm really digging it, Corey. I see why you slapped it on there so early. It's kind of funny that it lasted so long, but you know, 14 seems like the right episode for the song. You know, we've had enough to review at this point and listen to, where we've got enough variation of Aerosmith to sit there and kind of say, you know, this is the type of song that you want to include on the playlist.
Yeah. Man, even a rock will crumble if you strike it night and day. If hammer I must, I'm going to get through your crest, going to chip that stone away. That's some fantastic lyric writing right there.
And this is what, you know, we love about Steven Tyler's lyrics, right? Like just the way he paints a picture. You know, a few songs ago, we had a song off of Big Ones, the Walk on the Water song. Yeah. And he was very much like line by line, just hitting you with like more like a poem. This is more like a story. And this is more of what we're used to out of Aerosmith, out of Steven Tyler and his lyrics.
Your thoughts of the solo section? The last song we did didn't really have a solo, a little bit more of a traditional solo in there. What'd you think?
No, it's a little more of a traditional solo. It's a little bit more of a traditional Aerosmith song. I like this. I you know, you're the one who wants to bring up Seasons of Wither, and you know, if you're asking me if it stands up next to Seasons of Wither, I still have the King of the Mountain, and it's still Seasons of Wither. But you know, this isn't far off from that, and this is going to have a run for its money on the mixtape as well. But you can just tell already,
if the goal is to find the 18 tracks that represent the best of Aerosmith, and what Aerosmith represents and what the Aerosmith sound is, this song stays on there. I believe that as we're doing this show 14 with 300 and some left to go, this is quintessential Aerosmith in my book.
Are you stealing my move with bold predictions for it?
I might be. You know, I say we just wrap up shop right now. We've already got the two best songs. Let's just call the mixtape done and move on with our lives. What do you say?
I mean, it makes our lives a little bit easier, but I'm kind of enjoying what we're doing. So let's keep the music rolling.
Yes, sir.
right there is what's going to keep this song on this list a very long time. Everything we just heard there musically is the peak of this band. You know, it was a couple of notes, but there was a lot of stank. And
tons of stank, yeah.
Yeah, and it's exactly what we look for. And like Corey, you saw how my face was kind of gyrating and everything. Like, you knew that we were going to break into the song right after that was done, because you know, I basically had a face explosion or a face orgasm during that section of the song.
I couldn't tell if you were happy or sad though. I don't know if it was going to be a good comment or a bad one. I kind of don't envy your sexual partners. If they see that face, is he enjoying himself or is he going to, you know, get really mad?
This is why I voluntarily put the paper bag on myself.
And I'm sure all the ladies and gentlemen who might be so lucky to be with you are thankful for that.
Yeah, you know, whoever's a willing partner and a consensual partner, the one thing that they do appreciate is my kindness and not showing them my old face.
But you know what? Maybe you'll put this song on the background because got some good rhythm to this one too. We talked about a couple of the songs being, you know, kind of, you know, about sex and the rhythm of sex. Here's another one that can maybe, you know, be decent to have while you're in the tender act of making love. Right, Chip Away the Stone from 1978's Gems. John Mariano, what do you think?
I really dug it. I really dug it, especially the latter half of that song. It is some great stuff going on. And I completely get why you wanted this song, why you fought for this song, and why the dice finally relented and gave you the song.
You know what, it took long enough, but kind of glad for that because, you know, we had some decent tracks in there, but as we wrap up recording here tonight, John, I was in the mood for some quintessential Aerosmith, and we got it with Chip Away the Stone. I'm not the only one that thinks this is an all-time Aerosmith classic. It's been covered by such bands as Humble Pie, Guns N' Roses did it on tour. Vince Neil has covered it. You know, it's a favorite amongst Aerosmith circles. And as we're recording this on show 14, John, I'd be hard pressed to think of another song that's maybe going to knock it off. It's that good.
I stand by Seasons of Wither would knock it off, but there's room enough for both of them, Corey. Exactly. So
there's room enough for both of them. I agree wholeheartedly, but that also means, John, now it's my turn to have that moment of panic where I got to pick a song that replaces Chip Away the Stone on the die.
And do you have one offhand?
Well, you know what? I was thinking of albums we haven't grabbed the track off of yet. And one of those albums that we haven't grabbed the track off of yet is Night in the Ruts. And that's not an album I'm super familiar with. There's everyone will kind of remember the song, ironically called Remember, Walk in the Sand. It's a Shangri-La's cover because it was on their first Greatest Hits album. We're not going to go with that right off the hop. We're going to go with a song that I don't really know. And I couldn't tell you right now, naming it, how it goes, but we're gonna have to get to these songs eventually. So I'm gonna put Cheesecake on the die just because, John, you made me hungry earlier talking about grilled cheese, and I can use a little cheesecake.
And I'm actually familiar with Cheesecake, and I enjoy Cheesecake. That's an excellent choice, Corey.
Oh, awesome. And I believe it was on Pandora's Box as well, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, Pandora's Box was a collection of albums. So the albums were on Pandora or in Pandora's Box.
Well, there's only three discs on Pandora's Box. So it wasn't every album. It was just kind of choice cuts from each.
Oh, I don't know which version you had, but I bought Pandora's Box. I have the box set somewhere. And the box set that I bought of Pandora's Box was every album. Now, maybe there might have also been a limited version of it, but the way I collected my Aerosmith albums, I can tell you, is I bought a compact disc box set. It was called Pandora's Box, and it had every album.
Okay, because the Pandora's Box I'm talking about was the box set released in 91. It had three discs, so it didn't feature every single album on there, but it had, and usually from some of the tracks, it was previously unreleased versions, like Write Me a Letter from disc one was unreleased. Rattlesnake Shake is on there. That was from a radio broadcast, so it didn't have every album on there, but I believe Cheesecake might have been on here, and I'm just kind of looking at the yeah, it was actually right here on disc three, Cheesecake from Night in the Ruts on disc three of Pandora's Box. So maybe that's where I heard it for the first time, because I got to be honest, I don't put on Night in the Ruts on a lot, but I'm just kind of jonesing out for some Aerosmith. I don't know a ton about that album. I know released on Columbia. There was a different producer on that one. This is 79. This is kind of before Joe and Brad left the band.
I stand corrected, Corey. So I did own Pandora's Box, and you're correct. That was the three albums. I got this off of Box of Fire.
Okay, yeah. And Box that would have them all, yeah.
I had to go look it up, because I'm like, I could have sworn I bought a box set that had a ton of albums in it, and it was Box of Fire.
Yes, that one, that box set definitely did have every album, so... an honest mistake, but you know, we're not historians. We're going to get small little details wrong here and there, but good job there correcting yourself. I that was one I saw in the record store all the time, and I wish I got was Box of Fire. So I'm a little envious that you grabbed that one when you did.
Yeah. I do want to thank the fans for tuning in and listening and supporting you and Mark over on and the podcast Will Rock and Ken Knapsack over on Pop Rock and Radio, and listening to us and supporting us and tweeting about us and keeping this dream alive of making it through the whole Aerosmith catalog. Corey, this was a great pick, man. We've had a couple of really good episodes in a row now,
and we got some interesting ones still on the die. We got Cheesecake, Helter Skelter, You Gotta Move, Shame on You, Just Push Play, and Sick as a Dog. So we're digging into a little of the more obscure sections of the discography here, which I'm really kind of looking forward to. Like, it's one thing to go through the hits or even the most well-known songs like Chip Away or Seasons of Wither and say, yeah, these are great songs, they belong on here, but maybe we'll find some diamonds in the rough with some of these other tracks that we're not so familiar with.
Yeah.
And cool. With that, John Mariano, if you're ready, as always, let's give the final word to one Steven Tyler.